Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Look at this next sentence. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we see creation beginning and continuing all the way through this first chapter. I want you to see, first of all, the Spirit of God has been working in this world since before creation. You got to understand, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about us. We're not talking about what we can do. Spiritual gifts aren't about me. They're not about you. Spiritual gifts is about God working through you. And the same God, the same Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters, the same God, the same Spirit that was involved in the creation of the universe says, look, now I want to empower you. I want to give you something that you can do to make a difference in this world. And we call them spiritual gifts. Go to John chapter 3. Another very well-known passage, just as introduction into this lesson on spiritual gifts, John chapter 3. I want you to see the Spirit of God involved in another very, very important thing in our lives. John chapter 3 and verse number 3. You've got the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus. Anybody know anybody named Nicodemus? I don't know anybody named Nicodemus. There was a rat on an old movie when I was a kid named Nicodemus. That's the only, maybe a dog. This is not a common name anymore. So whenever we see the name Nicodemus, we're probably talking about going back to John chapter 3, reading this Bible story. You're familiar with this story. You're familiar with the name just because of this story, most likely. Some of you would agree with me on that one. All right, trying to keep your attention tonight. It's been a long afternoon, and we're in like a football coma, all right? Or Some of us are. I'm not. I haven't yet. But I'm trying to keep your attention. Okay, so we've got Jesus. We've got Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He comes at night because he's afraid of what people around him are gonna think. And look what he says. Jesus answered and said unto him, make sure I'm in the right place. Yes, sir. Yes, I am. All right. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus asks this really, really good question. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So the Spirit of God's been working in this world since before creation, and now we see the Spirit of God gave you eternal life through your new birth. So the Spirit of God was instrumental in your salvation. The same Spirit that gives you this spiritual gift we're going to talk about is the same Spirit that saved you. It's the same Spirit of God that created everything. It works together. It's not just this crazy thing that we get to in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to get there in just a minute. And we say, okay, so now we've got this list of spiritual gifts that somehow I'm supposed to decide what I do and what I'm good at. No, the same Spirit that created this world, the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that saved you also has a big plan for your life. And He has some gifts, that's the way the Bible describes them, that He wants to give you that's going to help you to be able to serve Him in this church. All right, so one more place I want you to see, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, and we're almost to our lesson on spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. Now, I know often whenever we read these two verses, often we're going to talk about heaven and eternity and spending forever with God, but I want you to realize that's really not what these verses are about. So let's read them. I want you to see it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them to love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God has big plans for you, and He reveals those plans by His Spirit. Okay, one more time. Spiritual gifts are not about us. You've heard of gifts or gift sets. How many of you're familiar with those words? You've heard of that before, okay? Now, we're going to be talking about those tonight. What we need to understand before we even begin this conversation is it's not about me. It's not about what I'm good at. It's about what God made me for. It's about how God made you. And God made you to fit a very specific need. So what is a spiritual gift? Jump into the outline tonight. We're not going to be able to spend a whole lot of time on some of the areas, so we're going to go through them pretty quickly. When we get to some of the areas, we'll spend a little bit more time on them. But there's a lot of material to give you tonight, and I want to be able to cover all of it, so let's jump right in. What is a spiritual gift? What is it? A spiritual gift, let me give you this definition. I believe you've got it written down in there, and you've got some blanks to fill in. Is a divine empowerment from God's Spirit, which enables me to serve God through the local church in a special and specific way. Wow, that's a long definition. Let's break it down for just a moment. It means God is the one that gives you this ability to serve Him, and He gave you this ability to serve Him in a very special place. And that special place is the local church. If you're in this local church, He gave you that gift to serve in this local church. If you're in a different local church, He gave you that gift to serve in a different local church. But He gave you that gift to serve. It's a divine enablement. God gave it to you. You can't come up with it by yourself. He gave it to you so you could serve in a very special place. That is the local church, and in a very specific way. That is a way that only you can. And we'll look at some of the gifts tonight. You'll look at them, you say, okay, that makes sense. That describes me. And we'll see that a little bit more as we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Would you go there with me tonight? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The entire chapter is about spiritual gifts. And I'll read a couple verses, and then we'll start talking about what some of these different spiritual gifts are. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse number 1, and we'll use that as a place to start. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now remember, a spiritual gift is a divine enabling, is something God gives us to be able to serve Him in the church. You got that? If you got that, we can move forward and realizing it's something God gives us. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols. I like how he just says it right there, these dumb idols. I know he's talking about them, can't talk, but I like both meanings there. Even as you were led, verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man that can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Remember, this is about God's Spirit and what God's Spirit gives us. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So right here from the beginning, God gives us these gifts. The Spirit of God gives us some unique abilities to be able to serve Him in His church. If we were just to look around without even going any further, we could realize that we're all different, and different ones of us have different abilities. For example, some can sing, some can't. All right, I get invited to sing twice a year with the quartet, and that's about it. And because some can sing and some can't, all right. And there's some abilities to teach. There's some that God didn't give that ability. There's some people here tonight. If you look around and you kind of know some people here tonight, there are some people that are very patient with others. There's some of us that aren't. There's some here tonight that are really good at working with kids. And there's some of us tonight that just don't have that kind of patience. We're not as good at it. I've told you the story how I had the opportunity to stay employed one summer when I was teaching. It was a great opportunity. But the opportunity was to work as a staff at a summer day camp. And I was with elementary students all day long, and they were whining and complaining. I think I've told this story probably way too many times, but there was the one kid that came with that camera, and his mom said, take lots of pictures of him while you're at the museum. And he was just whining and complaining, and We took a lot of pictures of him, all right. But it was when he was whining and complaining and throwing fits on the floor and, you know, filled the camera up with, I shouldn't have done it, but filled the camera up with him whining and complaining and things just because I don't think his mom knew. Oh, I'm sure she knew. But looking back, I sent it home with him, and I was just thinking, great, now mom's going to develop that and she'll see what a brat you are. And I was realizing, this is not my gift. You know, working with these little kids whining and complaining all day, it just wasn't something that God made me good at. But he made some of you good at that. So just looking around, we can see some people are good at these things, some people are good at these things, some people are good at these things. And when God brings it all together, he's got this church, and it's a church that can work together because there's people good at every single different thing. Not everybody has to be good at everything, but if we have the different parts together, it works. Now, just looking around, you can see that, but we're going to see it from the Word of God tonight. What is a spiritual gift? That divine empowerment. 1 Peter 4:10, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, God has given you some abilities. God has given you some gifts. And God says, I want you to use that to serve me. A spiritual gift, just like salvation, is freely given and cannot be earned. This is a great lesson. You don't earn your spiritual gifts. You don't have to. God said, I want to give you, this is grace. This is God saying, I want to give you this ability to serve me. And it's a wonderful thing that God says, let me just give this to you. 2 Corinthians 2:12, the Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. What's the purpose of this lesson tonight? The bottom line purpose of preaching this message and teaching this lesson to you tonight, the bottom line for teaching someone who is a new Christian is for them to realize, I have a job to do and I need to serve God in my local church. And I hope you get that tonight. Every one of us should be doing something in our local church. Not just coming and receiving, but we need to be doing something in serving. So that's one of the reasons for preaching this message. It's one of the reasons for teaching it to new converts. Why a spiritual gift? What are the purposes for the spiritual gifts? First of all, to bring glory to God by helping people, by helping individual people. We want to bring glory to God by helping people. These gifts are, we'll see some of them, by fulfilling my God-given purpose in the church. 1 Corinthians 12:18, the Bible says this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. This is a great lesson for us to learn. In this local church that God has started, it belongs to God. It is his church. The Bible says he has set the members in the body as it pleased him. God brought you here. God put you here for a reason. And he's given you the gifts that he has given you for a reason so that you can please God. We want to fulfill our God-given purpose in the church. We can use our gifts to assist other members of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:25. I'm going to jump around a little bit in this chapter, but we can use our gifts and we can bring glory to God by assisting other members of the church. 1 Corinthians 12:25, the Bible says, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Here's an opportunity to use my spiritual gift to help you. It's an opportunity for you to use your spiritual gift that God has given you to help somebody else. Let's use the gift of teaching, for example. If you've got a gift to teach, maybe God has just given you an ability to connect with somebody and to be able to teach somebody, you can use that to help somebody. You can use that to help a young child maybe to... How many of you, as a teacher, you've had that light turn on experience when you were teaching somebody and you saw them and they got it? Wow. That, for a teacher, that is one of the most fulfilling moments. When you're teaching somebody, the light turns on, they get it. Whether you're teaching algebra and the light turns, so you can say out to algebra, you're teaching it. And one of the statements in algebra was this, I taught this, was algebra is not hard, it is just different. And your students look at you like, you are lying to me. This is hard. And you try to teach it, and you'd say, you know, things like, It's just like a foreign language. It's just like learning Spanish, or it's just like learning a different language. You just got to learn what it means, and they can look at you still like, what is going on? And you try to tell them, X means this and Y means this, and then you get to the next problem, and X means something different, and Y means something different, and they look at you, and they say, what are you talking about? You're making this stuff up. This doesn't make any sense at all. But that one day comes when you teach it, and they get it, and their light turns on, and it's just... Some the light never turns on, but some of them, the light turns on and they get it. And for you as a teacher, it's just like, yes. How about teaching 4 and 5 year olds, first grade, second grade, teaching these kids, and you're teaching how God loved them so much. He sent his only begotten son. He died on the cross. He wants to give you eternal life. If you'll just accept the free gift God has given you, and you teach it and you teach it. And sometimes the kids, they're not listening. They're standing up. They're running around the class. They're coloring on the walls and the tables and the chairs. And you're like, what is going on? Why am I even here? But the day comes when they're sitting there, and something connects, and you teach it, and they get it. The light turns on. And after class, they raise their hand. Teacher, I want to talk to you. I want to be saved. Whoa! That's such a fulfilling thing. So God gave us this gift, this example. I'm using the gift of teaching, and he uses it. You can use it. God gave it to you so that you can help others. And when you use it to help others, you bring glory to God. So teaching is one of the gifts. We'll talk about more. What are the purposes of spiritual gifts? We want to bring glory to God by helping people. We can do that by fulfilling our God-given purpose in the church. We can do that by assisting other members of the church. We can do that by cooperating with other church members who have different spiritual gifts. Look at 1 Corinthians 12:26. The Bible says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. We won't take the time to go into all this because there's a lot to go through. But there's different gifts, different members. You remember the Bible talking about if everybody was an eye, where would the hearing be? If everybody was an ear, where would the smelling be? We've got to have the different members. We've got to have different strengths. One of the dangers we have is trying to get everybody to be just like us. If everybody's just like us, the world would be perfect. I mean, that's what we think sometimes. Because we've got it figured out. And if everybody could just see it like I see it, it would make sense. And it would be logical, and it would all make sense. Now, we know that's wrong, but we find ourselves thinking, this person has no clue, no concept of, and now that's the way God made them. And they're really good at it, just a different way that I'm good at it. So what we need is, we need somebody to be strong in this area, but if you're strong in this area, you're going to be weak in this area. If you are a very strict person, you're going to have a strength in judgment, but the weakness that comes along with that is you might be a little light on mercy. And that's just the way it works. So we need somebody, that's strong with judgment, but we need somebody else that's strong with mercy and work together and to bring balance and to work together and as an entire team say, yes, let's bring glory to God. Let me be strong where you are weak. Please, you be strong where I am weak. And as we cooperate with other church members who have different spiritual gifts, we can do so much more to reach the world with the gospel and to bring glory to God. All right, so what are the purposes? One, to bring glory to God by helping individual people. The next is to bring glory to God by helping guide the church, by actually helping with the church. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, let me ask you this. I guess you don't really have to answer this, but let me ask that you just think. If I was to ask you, do you know a spiritual gift that you have? 1, 2, 3, whatever spiritual gifts you have. Would you be able to say, yes, I believe this is my spiritual gift? Now think about that. Think about that. What I want to convince you of here as we go forward, not only is there a great purpose for having a spiritual gift, but God has given you a spiritual gift. The Bible says he divided severally to every man as he will. You've probably got more than one spiritual gift. There's probably several things that God has given you this divine enablement to do, and the reason He gave it to you to do was to be able to bring glory to Him. So as you're thinking about that, what is my spiritual gift? Is my spiritual gift teaching? Is my spiritual gift administration? Is my spiritual gift helping others or giving? And we'll talk about the rest of them here in a little bit. But as we talk about this, be thinking, what is my spiritual gift? Do I have some gifts that God has given me, and am I using them for God's glory? Ephesians 4:11, the Bible says this, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So why did God give us these spiritual gifts? Well, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the gospel of Christ. I believe you even have this in your outline there. With the church in mind, God gave these gifts to the church for perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry. You know, the ministry is work. And God has given you some spiritual gifts to help with that work. And the edifying of the body of Christ, building of the church. And God has given you some of these gifts. We're not going to go through and make a study of each one of the gifts tonight. What I want you to get is that God has given you something. God has given you a gift or more than one gift, and He wants you to use it for Him. And the way you use it for Him is in the local church, the body of Christ. All right, so who decides what gifts I get? Who makes that decision? I've wished sometimes I could choose. You ever wish that? You ever wished when you were the little one on the team and you were at PE and everybody was getting picked and you were the last one getting picked when you were the littlest? You remember that? And you wished you could do the picking? Oh man, there was a lot of times I wished I could do the picking because that would have picked me first. And sometimes I feel the same way about these gifts. I wish I could have done the picking, but first of all, I would have been a poor picker. I would have picked the wrong gift. I don't know what my life has for me. When I was 18 years old, getting ready to go to college, getting ready to go to Bible college, I didn't know where God had me. You didn't know where God had you 15, 20 years ago. But God knows. So He's got this gift package for you, and He knows where you're going, and He wants to give it to you, and He's going to give it to you in light of where you're going to be spending the rest of your life. So I'm glad He's the one that gets to pick. But James 1:17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The gifts that we get are from God the Father. God the Father is the source of all gifts. And we see that the Spirit of God chooses what spiritual gifts are best for each believer. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the Bible says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. So the Spirit of God chooses, and He gives you which gifts He's going to have you to use. God wants you to serve Him. God wants you to serve Him in the body, the local church. And He's given you the abilities to do that. Let's look at the different spiritual gifts. There's seven of them we're going to talk about. Romans 12, verse number 6. I think it's in your outline. You can turn there if you like. Romans 12, 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Let he that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we've got this list here. We've got prophecy, ministry, or ministering, teaching, exhortation, giving, ruling, and mercy. We're going to break them down. We'll talk about them a little bit here. But first, I want you to see this. There's one little phrase here that I want you to get. The Bible says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. So I think I get that. If God has given me this gift of prophecy, which we'll look at in a minute, what it is. But if He's given me that, if He's given you that, I need to do it according to the proportion of faith that God's given me. I need to do it by faith. And it's an amazing thing. As you look at preachers, as I look at preachers, and I look at their stories, So many of the preachers that are called to preach are, first of all, they're introverts. They don't really like talking to people. They really don't like talking in front of people, and they're really bad at it. That's what I've seen. But God says if God calls you to preach, you preach, and you just go ahead and do it by faith, all right? And you do it, and God enables you to do it, and it helps you to realize, I can't do this by myself anyway. I need God's help completely because I can't do it, all right? That's the way these gifts are. It's got to be all God. Now, the next phrase is a little bit more tricky. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Now, I don't believe it's saying, if God has given you the gift of ministry, or being a minister, the gift of ministering to others, helping others, just sit around and wait for it. It'll come. Now, I don't believe that's what he's teaching. It's not, if God's got this gift for you, just sit there and wait for it till it gets there. Because, and he talks about ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, let him wait for teaching. Or he that exhorteth, let him wait on exhortation. It doesn't mean sit around and wait for it. There's another word, there's another definition of that word wait, right? So whenever we were in Chicago, before we were married, my future in-laws came up and visited us. We took them to Chicago, and we took them to this restaurant right in downtown Chicago. The waitresses there were known for being rude. Brother Reed, I'm sure you remember this. Took them there, sat down. I'd never been to this restaurant before. People said, you got to go there. Why would you go to where waitresses are known for being rude? I don't know, but we went there. Sat down. Our waiter came, and I don't remember exactly what happened there. Walked up to us, said, I'm your waiter. Wait. And walked away. And that's kind of where our night started going downhill. There's a different kind of waiting rather than just, you know, waiting for something to happen. It's a waiting that means a serving. I was a waiter for a while. And as a waiter, you serve. You serve the people that are coming in. In fact, now they don't call them waiters anymore. What do we call them? Servers, right? So there's not just the waiting for it to happen. There's the serving them. They're called servers. Now God wants us to wait on our gifts, or it kind of sounds funny to say, but serve our gifts. If God has given you the gift of ministering, serve that gift. Let that gift guide you into what you're going to do. Kind of a hard concept to catch, but let your gifts guide you into service. Wait on your gift. If God's given you the gift of teaching, let that gift guide you. Wait on that gift. Allow God to lead you through that gift to do what you're supposed to do. All right, we'll move on. He talks about several of them. One is prophecy. Prophecy, description. The gift of emphasizing and proclaiming God's pure truth to the people. God gives some people that gift. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's teaching. But God has given you a desire, maybe. He's given you an ability. And you can teach the truth of God's word to people. We've got examples of each one of this. The example here would be Peter. We saw him teach through and preach through the book of Acts. We saw him preach in Pentecost. This has got a great benefit to the church. It keeps an emphasis on truth. It keeps an emphasis on soul. It keeps an emphasis on purity. It keeps an emphasis on doctrine. And these things are so needed. And some people, God gifts with this gift of prophecy, a gift to preach, a gift to teach, a gift to take the truth and convey it to other people. Some people, he gives the gift of ministering. That'd be the gift to identify and practically help others by willing service. You know, this is such a different gift. This is not to get up in front of everybody and preach something. This is the gift of, let's make this thing happen and go help somebody. This is not preaching the philosophy. This is not preaching the theory. This is, let me serve somebody. I want to help somebody. I want to minister to somebody. God has given many people the gift of ministering. Timothy is just a great example, getting involved in the churches and giving of himself to help others by willing service. Teaching, gift to effectively research and communicate the truths of the Bible to others. We need teachers. We need people who, if God calls you to teach, and if God's given you that ability to teach, to use that. I don't remember what I was reading exactly. We're going to have to wrap up here in a couple minutes, but I don't remember exactly what I was reading. It was Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham wrote an article, Answers in Genesis. And he's talking about how we're losing so many of our young people as soon as they graduate because they haven't learned the doctrines of the Bible. So they did a research study on this, and they went through and they polled, I think it was 1,000 college students, and they asked, I think that was the number, many of them, over 60% of these college students, they've left church and they really don't want anything to do with church. So they asked them, when was it that you started to question and didn't get answers? Or when was it that you feel like you began to turn away from your parents' faith? This is not just independent fundamental Baptists, but this is Christians across the board, born-again believers, I think is what they called it. They thought it was in college. They thought people start questioning in college and turning away from the faith. Turns out the largest group was in elementary school and junior high school, where people started questioning their faith. That's normal. We're supposed to question our faith. But if we question our faith and there's nobody there to give us the answers, we're not gonna embrace the faith of our fathers. We need teachers. We need somebody that's going to say, I will study the Bible and I will be willing to teach it, because there's a generation coming behind that they're going to get to that age where they begin to question. And every person, look, you're supposed to question it. That faith needs to become your faith, not just somebody else's faith. It's supposed to be yours. And not in a rebellion questioning, but a show me. Show me from the Bible. I want to see it. And we need teachers who can say, look, God has enabled me to teach. God has equipped me to teach. So I am going to take the responsibility, and I'm going to teach these young people, and I'm going to teach them when they're in elementary, and I'm going to teach them when they're in junior high, and I'm going to teach them when they're in high school, so that when they get to college, they've got a firm foundation, and they're not leaving the scriptures, they're not leaving the Bible, they're not leaving the faith of their fathers, because they had somebody that taught them. We need teachers. We need preachers. We need people to minister. Exhortation, the gift to identify problems, to strengthen and strengthen others to a place of spiritual maturity. Encouragers are so needed in our church. Giving, the gift to conserve and share resources in order to meet material needs. You know, God's given this gift to some of us. It's interesting. Sometimes the people God gives this gift to don't have a whole lot to give, but they still give. They're just giving people. It's not always giving money. They're giving of their time. They're giving of themselves. But maybe that's a gift that God has allowed you to have. Ruling is one. The gift to guide and direct a group of people toward a goal or destination. You might call that administration. You call that management. Nehemiah is a great example. He comes before the foreign king, and he says, here's the problem. The king sends him. And Nehemiah, as a slave, leaves and comes to Jerusalem and takes charge of building the walls around Jerusalem. And it turns out he's a great administrator. And God has gifted him in this wonderful way. Now, not everybody's an administrator, but some people are. And if God has given you that gift, try to figure out a way to use that gift. Is it organizing a class? Is it organizing schedules? Is it helping with some of the big picture things in the church? God has given you a gift. Use it. Mercy would be the last one. The gift to recognize, identify with, and comfort those who are hurting. This, I'll just say, this is not a gift that I feel strong in, but I can see it as I look out in some of you. Brother Reed, this is Brother Reed. He has this gift all over him. And others of you do. The ability to see a need and just come to the side of that person and just be what that person needs. The ability to visit somebody in the hospital and just be what that person needs. The ability to look for somebody that has a need and meet that need. Comfort somebody with a hurting spirit. These gifts God has given them, and they're supernatural, enabling by God. We don't choose them, but God says, this is what I want you to do. And this is what I have made you for. And you're going to find that the gifts that God gives you match so well with the personality that God gives you, so that you absolutely enjoy serving God the way God made you to serve. And you can love serving God. A lot of times we have this idea, if I'm going to surrender my life to serve God, not just full-time service, but if I'm going to say, God, you can do whatever you want with my life, I'll serve you any way you want me to serve you, we're afraid God's going to say, okay, I'm going to make you do the things that you hate to do the most. Make you the most miserable I can. Why would God do that? First of all, he loves us. Second, he's created us. He's given us personalities. He's given us desires. And he's given us these gifts. He's put us in this church. And he says, look, if you will just do what I've enabled you to do, you will be amazingly fulfilled because that's what I made you for. That's all we have time for tonight. Spiritual gifts. Take that spiritual gift test home if you want to. Do it. Do it on your wife. Do it on your husband. That'll be more fun. Tell them what their spiritual gifts are. Take that. Use it. Here's the takeaway. Get involved. Do what God made you to do. His plan is to work through the local church. Here's the local church. Find what you can do. Find what you're good at. Find what you like doing. You're going to find that those are the spiritual gifts God has given you. And just get involved. Father, thank you for letting us be able to learn a bit about these gifts you have given us. What an amazing thing, what a humbling thing that you would make the effort to equip us with these abilities to serve you. That you would even consider that we could live in such a way that pleases you and glorifies you. Lord, I pray that each one of us here tonight will take some time and reflect on what the gifts are that you have given us. And think of a way that we can use those gifts in your church. Lord, I believe that you have put in to this church everything that this church needs. But I feel that because we hold back, we're not contributing everything that you want us to. And because of that, the church suffers. So I just pray that you would help us to know what you want us to do. Help us to be yielded to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.